Hello, you're listening to FX Guide, and we're talking to A52 and to X-Ray.
Yeah, hi Mike, how are you?
Good. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about A52?
Sure. A52 is a small post-production facility in West Hollywood in the middle of Los Angeles. We've been around since about 1997. I've been working with A52 for about 3 years, and you know, it's a small to medium-sized facility with about 5 workstations, 13 render nodes, 3 or 4 Infernos, and we're looking at doubling in size within the next year or so.
You guys have done some really outstanding work. I mean, honestly, you've got a very good reputation internationally, and mainly in commercials. And it's one of those commercials I wanted to talk to you about today, which was the Budweiser spot. The Clydesdales across America.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what your role was on that?
Well, I was the massive supervisor for that spot. I was responsible for getting the software into the house and designing the pipeline to use it, and then actually going forward and executing all the shots that require digital crowds.
So let's discuss the actual concept of the ad first. It's sort of, bad pun, but it's kind of a cart before the horse, isn't it?
Sort of visualizing an event, recreating an event that hasn't happened yet. It's a real event that they're going to do. They're going to take the Clydesdale teams, and one's going to start on the East Coast, and one's going to start on the West Coast. They're going to travel through America and meet under the St. Louis Arch.
On the 4th of July, I believe.
On the 4th of July, yes.
So there was actually a few effect shots that A52 had to do. I believe the opening shot on the Golden Gate Bridge was a comp, for example. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a very comp-heavy spot. There's tons of compositing work done in it. The Golden Gate shot, there's we touched almost every shot in the commercial, one way or another.
Which is a testimony to the guys that worked on it, because it really looks very seamless. The only shot that obviously starts to make you wonder whether it's an effect shot is the end sequence when, of course, there are enormous crowds gathering at the finale as the two horses meet. And that's, of course, where the Massive software came in.
Yeah, that's correct. They had, about 100 extras on the set when they shot that, but there's kind of a big wide shot and then a closer in kind of medium shot where we added many digital people.
So now how did you go about doing that? I mean, was this a project that came along and then you decided to go and get the Massive software, or was it something that you already had Massive in-house and were playing with it and then decided to use it?
Well, it's interesting because I think the team at Massive has been so successful at getting their name out there that we actually have seen projects come in where they have a crowd shot and the creatives at the ad agency will say things like, oh, we think this is a Massive shot. Almost like a trademark name like Kleenex versus tissue or something. Well, that's a bad analogy, but you know what I mean? It's, it's gotten to the point where they have a certain amount of name recognition within the industry. So directors and executives know, there is a technology called Massive, and it does this. And when we bid this out, we're going to ask for them to use this software like a brand name.
Now, interestingly, you know, the size of the shots being so epic, I think that's led to the perception that it actually takes, you know, a team of 20 or 40 or more people to make, and it would require a massive render farm. But that wasn't your experience, was it?
As far as Massive goes, I was the only artist, and we'd never used it before. I had never used the software before. It took me about 2 or 3 weeks to sort of ramp up and learn everything I needed to know in order to execute these shots. And the team at Massive was also very helpful, answering all my questions and lending support.
Were you using Massive 2?
We started on Massive 1.2, but about halfway in, we switched to Massive 2.0.
And what software were you on, or what software are you normally using? Like, what was your background coming into that?
My background coming into this, primarily I'm a Houdini artist. I use RenderMan and also the Houdini Renderer Mantra. I'm familiar with Shake. I use Shake a lot. I've done a little time on the Inferno boxes. But mostly I'm a sort of procedural effects TD supervisor kind of guy.
So coming into this shot, you said you had about three, or actually, how many shots did you end up doing? Was it two or three shots in the final?
With Massive, initially there were going to be three shots, but they cut it down to two.
Okay, so you've had about 3 weeks to get up to speed. Just run me through how long it took you to do those shots and what the process was to use the software.
Well, let's see. First, we had to get the software in the house because we didn't have it when we booked the commercial. We sort of got the software based on the fact that the commercial was awarded. And then once that happened, I hit the ground running, just started playing with the software. They have a pretty nice suite of video tutorials and some really nice documentation to go along with them, and I just busied myself for a couple of weeks going through every little bit of material I could get my hands on. Once that was done, I sort of started to have to think about how to integrate that into either Maya or Houdini. I'm most familiar with Houdini, so I integrated it into Houdini with a few custom Perl scripts and stuff. And then our rendering pipeline is based around RenderMan, so that came together pretty easily because we have a very well established RenderMan pipeline, and Massive plays quite well with RenderMan. I understand it also will use other RenderMan compliant renderers such as Air and Render.c, but we have not used those here.
And so when you set up the shots, how much did you have to actually, you know, work on effectively dressing the characters? How much was it sort of, you know, came with the package?
Well, we were really, really fortunate on this spot because the crowd that's going out to meet the Budweiser Clydesdales is a fairly casual American Midwest crowd. They're wearing t-shirts and jeans and sweatshirts and ball caps. Fortunately, the agents that Massive has produced, the Loco guy and the Stadium guy, are wearing exactly those clothes. So with a minimal amount of effort, we were really able to come very, very close to matching the live-action extras. We tweaked some of the shaders, you know, instead of using painted plastic, we used some of our in-house Uber shaders to do Orin Nair specular and some nice skin stuff. But other than sort of tweaking that sort of thing, it was fairly plug and play from the point of view of textures and shading. With regards to lighting the scenes and getting them to match, you know, I did. They were both lock offs, and I just matched the lighting angle and, you know, used shadow maps to generate shadows on a ground plane to help integrate the digital characters. And then, you know, once that was done, it was up to the compositors to do sort of a final color correction and really, really integrate the elements into the background plate.
Cool. And as I understand it, the pipeline was to render it almost complete and then take it into Inferno for compositing. Is that correct?
Well, I rendered it in several passes. One of the interesting things with RenderMan is, and Massive, is that when you have an extreme wide shot with lots and lots of people in any given render bucket, you're going to have many, many, many polygons, and RenderMan actually started to choke on that a little bit. So what I had to do is sort of break up my crowd into different passes. I broke it up into four or five passes. I did a pre-comp in Shake, and then I just handed that pre-comp to the compositor in Inferno. So the compositor in Inferno didn't know that I was rendering out five different passes for the crowd.
And this was all done in 8-bit, was it? Was the spot produced?
Oh, no, this is all done. Our pipeline, it revolves around, we use floating point TIFF images.
But when you went to Inferno, it was...
What we do is we render from RenderMan as floating point images with a baked-in gamma of 2.2. And then what we do is, using a shake script, that kicks out TIFF-16 images, as well as 8-bit TIFFs and YUVs. The Inferno artists will usually read in the 16-bit TIFFs.
Excellent. Now, having done one major project like this, if you were presented with the same thing again, what would the sort of, I'm just sort of getting an idea for people that are thinking about getting into Massive, if you had the same project that came in the door again or something very similar, it would be what kind of turnaround time for you now that you're up to speed?
Well, now that I'm up to speed on it, if this project, this exact project came in the door, I could probably finish it in about 4 or 5 days.
So that's just one person, 4 or 5 days with just one license?
Yeah, one person, 4 or 5 days, one license, you know, and a small render farm. We have, I think I mentioned, 13 dual CPU Linux boxes that we use.
Well, that's really helpful. Massive 2 has some nice additions to it, especially in terms of some of the ways that the characters can leave footprints and paint and stuff. But I was just wondering, from your initial experience, was there anything that you found that you were really wanting out of Massive?
I gotta say, it's a really nice package. Some of the things that would have been helpful would be more tools for generating the layers that I was doing. As I mentioned, RenderMan started to choke on some of the number of sub-polygons that ended up in a given bucket or scan line. It just, the memory usage went through the roof. So it would be great if there were some more tools for manipulating that sort of control, where you can break the crowd up into discrete passes more easily. I didn't get into any of the advanced features, like leaving the footprints or anything. That wasn't a requirement on this job. But I know that Massive is aware of those issues and has been working toward coming up with some solutions for them.
Well, it certainly is a great spot, and we really enjoyed talking to you today. Thanks very much for your time.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure, Mike. It was really great talking to you, too.
And good luck moving forward with the next Massive project.